Hello there, this is Mark, your fat friend from the Fat and Black Connection, and I'm here to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about it, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Do me a favor and go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started on your very own. A good day, everyone. I am Mark, your fat friend.
And I'm James, your black friend.
And this is the Fat and Black Connection,
where we talk about anything and everything. Well, as long as it's interesting to us, of course.
Indeed. And remember, this is a live interactive show. We are broadcasting live right now on Facebook Live. And so we definitely want to get feedback from you. We've got the comment box open. You know, if you've got something on your mind you want to talk about, share, we're all about it. If you're listening to this after the fact or watching this after the fact, you can still send us comments, letting us know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see us talk about in the future. And of course, if your comments are interesting.
There he is.
Yes, there's our top fan, Steven, checking in. Let's go, Oakland. So if your comments are interesting, we might just use them on the show.
All day.
So, first and foremost, we've got to start off with a happy birthday to our black friend, James. How are you? Damn near 40.
Yeah, man. Oh, I'm good, bro. I'm good. It's been a hectic few weeks. I'm absolutely blessed and you know, thankful to be here, you know, with everything going on. It's good to be alive.
Indeed. So, you know, turning 39 today.
Yes, sir.
And you are now a homeowner.
Yes, sir.
So tell us a little bit, because you did just get your keys last week. Obviously, we'll talk about my situation as well, but I want to start with you and tell us how everything went. Walk us through kind of your closing process and where you're at, you know, right now.
Okay. Yeah, no. So everything actually went real smooth. Thanks to my mom, you know, I was able to get the house with, because my credit is, I'm working on it, building still. But my mom's credit is great, so therefore she was able to help me out. So I'm super thankful for that. Everything went really smooth. You know, there wasn't a whole lot that I had to take care of, and which was nice. Now it's just, you know, making sure I take care of the bills. I got a bunch of phone calls to make today to get things squared away due to the fact it was a long weekend. So therefore, nothing was really open. Nothing was open yesterday for the most part. Let's see. The walkthrough was super smooth. There was a couple things that we found wrong here and there. So he got those marked up right then and there. And when I got my keys and went back in, everything was fixed. I've got to go back today because there's a light situation. I think one of my lights might be out, but, you know, no big deal. Everything was good, man. I started moving some stuff in the other day. The woman that I was working with over at Touchstone Living, she actually gave me $100 gift card for Target. So I went over there and bought some stuff that I need. Got a doormat, you know. So
that was the essentials, right?
Yeah, that's one thing I got. You gotta get that. I'm super excited. I got a I today going to dinner over at Lucille's. They
Nice.
have
Get some barbecue.
they actually have two out here. So thank you for introducing me to that.
You're welcome.
So this will be the third time I've gone to Lucille's. So I went to the one, of course, with you the first time, and then I went a few years ago when I went to Magic Mountain. They had one near there, so we went over there, and then so they have one at Red Rock Casino, and then they have another one over near Green Valley Ranch Casino. So we're going over to the one at Green Valley tonight, and no, it's just gonna be chill day. Like I said, I got to take care of some stuff, phone calls and stuff like that. But other than that, man, I'm super excited. My brother will be out here tomorrow, so we going, bro. We going.
So you right now, you're not in your new place. You're still
Right.
at your friend's that you've been staying at while the house was being finalized.
Right.
Percentage wise, though, of the contents that you own, what is in the new place and what do you still need to move in?
Oh, I gotta move pretty much everything.
Oh.
The main stuff that I moved over there was just some small stuff that I had. There was some stuff that I had in the car, because I didn't want to, bring it all in and then have to take it all out. So I left a bunch of stuff in the car. So I got that stuff out. It's in my closet, hung up. Well, the stuff that I had hangers for, of course, because I have more hangers. No, all my stuff is still in the garage. I just gotta get it loaded up and take it in. So
Hey
it's not done.
James, did you hear that, Satan lost his hair? There was definitely hell to pay. Get it? Hell to pay?
No, I
To
see
pay
it.
like a wig? Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, no, I
Okay.
know. I
So
get
I recently closed on my new home. We got our keys and the walkthrough process and everything went extremely smoothly. But what we're finding now are things that obviously weren't looked at during the walkthrough. So for an example, we paid for an upgrade to have some lighting done in an area of the house where we could hang pendant lights. So the lighting, the electrical was there theoretically, because you could see the caps where they covered up so that all I got to do is take the caps off, pull the electrical out, wire up my light, and bada bing, bada boom. Except what we've found is that some of them are supposed to be rated differently. Like they're supposed to be able to hold up to 25 pounds or whatever the case may be. And we just keep finding little issues where, they used the wrong cap. So now I can't wire the light because one of the pendant type lights we bought is heavy. It's probably about 20 pounds. And so if I try to hang that light from there, it's going to fall and that's not going to go well. It hasn't been a terrible close, but
But there's a lot of it, there's little issues.
yeah. And they're just frustrating because, when I find them, it makes me want to just stop what I'm doing because if I keep going and I keep finding things, it's just going to frustrate me that much more. So, I finally got one ceiling fan up. That went well. I got five pendant out of five out of six of my pendant lights are up now. So I've got one more to go.
What's a pendant light?
So a pendant light is something you see that's like hanging from a ceiling and then there's the cord that comes down and then there's like a bowl or
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Okay.
those are called
Okay.
pendant lights.
Okay.
So I still need to hang five or six more ceiling fans, which if you've never done one is a beast. It is not fun. You really want to have two people because otherwise you're constantly just going up and down the ladder. I think the one fan I got installed so far, that one alone took me almost 2 hours.
How high are your ceilings?
On the first floor, they're 10-foot ceilings. On the second floor, they're 9-foot ceilings.
Oh, yeah. All
Yeah.
right.
So, needless to say, I am up on a ladder the entire time, and so
Yeah, be safe, bro.
yeah. Luckily, I have my wife there a lot of the time, so I'm like, "Hey, can you hand me this? Can you hand me that?" And
Okay, that works. Yeah.
but also the kids there, and
She wants to run
very
around and stuff like that.
Yeah, and very much underfoot, and so
Yeah.
it makes it a little difficult, but we're coming along. We have our big move scheduled for a couple weeks from now. I'm every day or so I'm taking a load up to the house with boxes and things here and there, but the big furniture move, we've got movers scheduled for a couple weeks from now to get that all squared away.
Nice.
So yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm excited to be up there. The new home is gorgeous. It's 2,900 square feet, 4 bedroom, 3 bath. We live right next to the clubhouse area where there's a gym, so it's open 24 hours a day. I can go in there and
Oh,
maybe try
nice.
to lose some weight. And it's a nice gym. I mean, they've got treadmills and free weights and pretty much everything, that I would potentially use. And you've got the swimming pool, the hot tub, there's a spa area, and there's a nice clubhouse that I could see potentially, hosting a Fat and Black, Super Bowl party or something in the future. It's a great place to be. The elementary school's right down the street that we'll send our kid
Nice.
to. There's a brand new huge park that just opened recently. So,
Nice.
it'll just be good to get in there and get done. Get this current house that we're living in sold. Our plan is to try and have it on the market by October 1st, if not sooner. So,
So, sorry to change tracks on you, but what's the situation? I haven't really been watching. What's the fire situation like? Is it still really smoky and
it is still smoky. It is not as bad. The last couple of days, it has not been as bad as it was. Lake Tahoe did not burn down. I mean, obviously parts of it has,
right.
but the major city of South Lake Tahoe is still standing. It looks like it's going to survive. It looks like it's going to be okay. The fire has really slowed down. Last I checked, it was over 50% contained.
Oh, nice.
So it's heading in the right direction. Still a little scary because, who knows, it could go from where it is to overnight. It could blow up, depending on the weather conditions.
Right.
But if things stay the path that they are, they're expecting that they should have it fully contained inside of the next 2 weeks.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah,
So.
I know we lost a firefighter in that, so thoughts for his family and stuff like that. So
Absolutely.
those guys put themselves on the line, and man, thankfully they do. So but yeah,
Yeah.
no, I just wanted to check on that, just to, sorry not to change
No,
gears.
I appreciate you asking. And yeah, we're definitely in a better situation than we were a week ago. And I'm hoping to be able to say a week from now that it is of zero concern. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But I did want to say, so you brought up barbecue a couple minutes ago,
Yeah.
and some of you may have seen over the weekend me
So jealous.
broadcasting live from the Best of the West Rib Cook-Off at the Nugget Casino in Sparks, Nevada. It's the largest rib cook-off in I think west of the Mississippi.
Mississippi, yeah.
And so I did what's called the VIP experience. A friend of mine up here, she bought a VIP table and reached out to people she knew and sold tickets to us, and I went ahead and did it. And I will say it
Was
was a
this your was that your first time there?
yes, I had never
Oh,
been
okay.
to the rib cook-off before.
Okay.
I will say this. I was surprised at how many tables there were in that VIP area. It was close to 200.
Yeah, 'cause
And
you were like what, 163 or something like
I
that?
was table 163,
Yeah.
and each table has 10 seats. So you imagine in this huge canopy tented area, there's about 2,000 people. Plus you've got a stage area where there was a band performing that people can hang out up there. So there was in this kind of tight confined area close to, I would say, 2,000, 2,500 people. I have no complaints about the beverage service. I have no complaints about the food service. It was done extremely well. They pretty much just had, the beer cart lined up with beer and wine, just cups sitting there. All you do is just walk up, grab one, walk away. They had servers coming to your table. If they noticed you were down low on a beer, they'd bring you a new one without even asking. From that perspective, it was very well done. The food, it was basically 8 buffet lines where everything had the same food. You just walk down, you know, it was 2 rows, 2 big rows, and you could walk down either side, get your food. It was extremely well done. I think the longest I waited to get some food was like 2 minutes.
Yeah. So did they have like each of the ribs labeled like where they came from? Or?
Okay. Yeah, they had all of the sauces labeled, all of the ribs, all of the food was labeled saying what it was or what vendor it came from.
Yeah.
And if you watched my live broadcast, you'll have noticed that on my first plate, I did one of each rib. I think there was 12 or 15 different types of ribs. yeah. Oh,
I food coma.
As I like to say, my butt paid for the sins of my mouth. That's for sure. For sure.
Oh man. Taco night.
Now here's the thing. The band that headlined, when I was there was Uncle Cracker, which,
Uncle Cracker.
Yeah. Oh,
where'd that guy go?
I mean, he's got 3 hits, right?
Except
he did songs that are from other bands.
Of course.
It was like, oh, are you a cover band now? It was painful. It was, I don't want to say he was bad because he wasn't bad, but it was like, this is who we get. We get Uncle Cracker.
I mean, look, it's Reno. Like, bro, they haven't had any, like when I went a couple years back, the night that I went, Mark McGrath was there. Like,
that's almost as bad.
Yeah. And the crazy part about that was that he was doing a bunch of songs, but it was damn near like a karaoke set. And like, he had a drummer and that was it. Like, I was expecting, you know, like Mark McGrath, I was like, oh, sweet, Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray. Just Mark McGrath
and a drummer. And like, so the drummer was playing and then he had like a karaoke. It was a little bit better than a karaoke track, but it was still like, bruh, what?
Yeah, that sounds worse. And the opening act for Uncle Cracker, I think her name was Patrice. I have no idea who it was.
Yeah.
But it was also very bad. You know, the one thing I could say for certain is that I will do it again.
Yeah.
But what really matters is, if you're going to sit closer to the stage, which our table was pretty close to the stage, I want to make sure it's a good band. Otherwise, I want to sit further away from the stage because it's really loud.
Yeah.
So the other thing that's extremely, I think, important to me is making sure that I'm at a table with all people I know that, you know, I enjoy being around. And this isn't a knock against the group that I was with. It's just, I only knew 3 of the people at the table, 2 of which were friends that I brought. One coworker from work who's a friend, and then the other, as you know, Angel from, you know, our high school days there. So nice. It was cool getting to hang out with those 2 guys, but pretty much everyone else at the table, I didn't really know super well.
Right. That makes it so, look, yeah.
So I think, you know, next time around, next year, we're going to do a Fat and Black table, and we will keep it confined to fans of the show or people we know.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that. I'm totally down for that. Yeah, no, that's what I said. I mean, like, I've gone, minus last year, I've gone for most of the years leading up to last year, but it's all the bands there's never really been anybody like huge. Hot August Nights, on the other hand, had some, I mean, there was groups that I really liked that were there, like the Gap Band was there 1 year, and they've had some, you know, some other bands and stuff like that that performed Hot August Nights. The Rib Cook-Off is always kind of like, it's iffy. Like, I think a couple of years ago, Blue Oyster Cult was there, and like it's always like these kind of older bands. I would love to see, you know, I'd love for them to get somebody that's not like newer, but you know, somebody that's, I mean, and those bands still had a big following out there, so I can't knock them. So, but yeah, I'd like to see some I guess newer acts, not like some of the really old acts that they've had. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you mentioned Blue Oyster Cult, and if you heard plenty of cowbell.
Yes. Oh, there was a lot of cowbell. People brought cowbells.
So that was my Sunday. I spent the majority of the day at the new house, you know, like I said, wiring, ceiling fans, lighting, stuff like that, and then went over to the Rib Cook-Off, and we had our tickets. They were from 4 to 9, so we had 5 hours to eat and drink all that we wanted. So to me, the value was there if, like I said, the situation is right with the right group. From just a food and drink value perspective, I don't know. I don't think I ate and drank $150 worth of stuff. It was close. Because from what I was seeing, you know, the average vendor, it looks like, you know, you can get like 3 ribs for about $10.
Yeah.
So.
And then like to buy a beer, it's like, I think it's like 5 or something like that. So.
Yeah. So I think I came close if it was purely just from the food and drink perspective.
Well, because on your table, it looked like there was at least you had a beer and like, and a water's like $2. And like, I don't know if you brought, it looked like a tall, one of those tall.
Oh no, that margaritas. Was, so that was my pregame. So inside of the Nugget, they were selling, alcoholic, Slurpees. So I had to get one. So I got a rum strawberry daiquiri with an extra shot. And that was $19.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that wasn't included. Okay.
And yeah, I pretty much finished that thing before we even got to our table.
That looked empty, so
yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought that was something you got there. But anyways, but yeah, no, I mean, especially if like you're almost done with your beer and they're bringing you a new one, that's dope. And like I know they had a bunch of sides, potato salad, and probably some baked beans. They have any hush puppies?
I did not see hush puppies. I saw cornbread. I saw some biscuits.
Yeah, because I know at the like a couple of the stands have hush puppies, and so like I was wondering if they brought those over there.
No, I didn't see those. And from what it sounds like, the appetizer type items are different every year. The ribs are obviously going to be whoever the vendors are. Right. But the other thing that I thought was interesting is talking with some of the people at the table. Everyone has different opinions. I didn't realize how different people's view on ribs were. For me, I like a nice tender rib where I don't got to work too hard. The meat more or less comes off the bone.
Oh, yeah.
I want it to be pretty moist, pretty juicy. And definitely not all of the ribs were that way. There were many ribs that I had that were dry. You know, I was pulling it off. And some people evidently like that. I was very surprised that because I was commenting at the table that, oh man, this one's really tough or whatever. And they're like, oh, that's my favorite when you got to like get in there and pull it off. And I'm just like, really?
Nah. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, man, yeah, I'll work at it, but I don't like working that hard on it. Like I've had a number of ribs. I think one of the places that we normally go when I go is the Checkered Pig.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some of the best, them. And then normally the way it used to be set up, I don't know how it's set up now because they've put all those apartments and everything over there. But the way it used to be is right across. So it was a Checkered Pig. Like if you were looking dead at them, on your right hand side was a Checkered Pig. And then on the left hand side was, this, Australian rib place. I think it was like Aussie rib, I don't remember the name of it, but they, we used to go to those two every year. And cause their lines are always long. Like they always have, in my opinion, some of the best ribs. And like the Checker Pig, the first time we had those, I mean, literally it was just like, you bit into it and it was coming off the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And those to me are the best ribs. I mean, yeah, if there's a little bit of meat on there, I'm gonna get in there and get that last little niblets of meat off of the bone. But man, I'm telling you, and actually, Mark's probably gonna make some comment. Watching me eat ribs is an experience all in itself. Yes,
it is an art form.
Because I'm telling you, it's like you just get in there and just meat comes. Oh my goodness. Oh, so good. Hey, question. In there, did they have any of the like the Piggy Mac or the Moo Moo Mac or anything like that in there?
No, there was a mac and cheese type dish, but it looked more like a macaroni salad than anything. Because I was interested in trying that, but you know, I wasn't going to go out and pay for it.
No, yeah, because like they have my Facebook timeline was kicking back some old pictures that I took over there. Yeah. And they had, they've had Piggy Mac, which is pulled pork on top of macaroni and cheese, throw some barbecue sauce on that, mix that. Oh my goodness. So good. And they have Moo Moo Mac, which is, basically like pulled brisket. And mixed with mac. And so you just kind of mix that with the mac and cheese as well.
That's interesting, because what I did notice and I thought was strange that I didn't know before, and maybe I'm wrong, but all I saw were pork ribs. There were no beef ribs.
Oh no, there's no beef. No, like most of the time there's no beef ribs. What I'm saying is that like they have, at some of the stands, they have brisket.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I think it's weird that there was no beef ribs there. Why is it only pork? Beef ribs can be delicious too.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's, beef ribs are kind of monstrous. I mean, those kind of, when I used to
serve. I know, serve, I want to go Fred Flintstone, man.
Yeah, when I used to serve from, I worked at Claim Jumper for a little while before I moved out to Reno and, or to Dayton with you guys. And when I used to bring them to the table, I used to be like, all right, hold on, don't let the car tip over. And people were like, what? I was like, Flintstones? People didn't get it. I was so sad. Yeah. But no, but beef ribs, yeah, beef ribs are kind of monstrous. But I think the way that they judge them, I believe it's they get the same pork ribs, and then they basically give those to the vendors, and like they can smoke them or do whatever they do to them. I think that's just how that's done. I'm sure that if a place wanted to bring beef ribs, they could do that and sell those, but they that's probably on them. But like I said, some places have brisket. I've seen like and actually couple years ago they had I remember watching, what was that called? It was on Food Network. It was like Grillmaster Junior or something like that, where they were actually at the rib cook-off and talking to a couple of the kids that were actually working the grills with their parents and stuff like that, which is pretty dope. So.
Yeah, you know, Steven says that he's got an unpopular opinion that ribs are overrated and he'd rather have pork shoulder or pork belly. And I don't disagree, Steven. I do think ribs can be overrated. However, it was a rib cook-off. So it's, you know, I wouldn't go to a rib cook-off expecting to have, hamburgers or a bunch of vegetables or something.
Right. Now, mind you, there are a couple restaurants right in that area that you could go get other food at. But if you go to the rib cook-off, I mean,
you're going to have ribs.
You better go have ribs.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Like if on the same day there was a rib cook-off and there was a, Korean barbecue cook-off, I'd be going to the Korean barbecue cook-off because there's going to be a lot more different types of variety, right? You know, yeah. So it's just, It is what it is. It was a rib cook-off. That's what it was. And like I said, I think the experience was fun. I was not impressed with the food and the selections. I think it was good. It was fine. The beers, I was drinking a mango wheat beer pretty much the entire night, and it was delicious. Never had it before. Great.
No, like that's one of the Blue Moon has a mango wheat beer that I absolutely enjoy that thoroughly.
Yeah, I had never had it before, and it was delicious. So
yeah, what beers did they have? It was like
there was an IPA, there was the mango wheat, there was Michelob Ultra, Coors Light.
Like Michelob Ultra is one of the I don't understand. Like that is one of the grossest beers I've ever had in my life.
You won't get any argument from me, friend. It is not an enjoyable beer to me. Yeah. And Steven does say he would like to go to the rib cook-off. Well, make plans for next year, friend. We'll get, as we get closer to the tables being released for next year, we'll start talking about it. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a lot of people. Maybe we'll have to buy two tables. That'd be great.
That'd be dope. Hey, real quick, actually, while we're talking about meat, did you know pineapple works as a natural meat tenderizer?
I did not.
Yeah. So the fruit is packed with the enzyme bromelain, which breaks down protein chains, making it an ideal marinade for meats when you don't have a lot of time. But for the same reason, pineapple doesn't work as for jams and jellies, which I actually didn't realize. I guess there is no pineapple jam or jelly. That's since the enzymes break down gelatin as well, so that wouldn't work. The bromelain is so strong that pineapple processors have to wear protective gloves. Otherwise, over time, the enzymes eat away at the skin. Oh man, on their face and hands, leaving dry skin and small sores.
Jeez.
I didn't know pineapple was that crazy. But and some people might not agree with me, but pineapple does not belong on pizza.
That is correct, sir. Pineapple does not belong on pizza.
No. I like pineapple on its own, but hot pineapple. I mean, now I've had grilled pineapple and that's not bad, but pineapple on pizza, no way, Jose.
You will not get any argument from me, sir. So, one thing I wanted to talk about that just came out this last week was Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I had the opportunity to see it on Thursday, opening night. And I don't want to, obviously.
Did you go by yourself or did you go with your wife or what?
I went by myself. I didn't want to wait. And I think, you know, my wife and I will go see it again in the theater. I think it was that good.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go see it again with her, probably after the move, after we're in the new house. Okay. We'll go do that. But it was a really, really good film, for a origin film in the MCU. I think it's probably the second best, with Guardians being first. But it's really close. It's really close.
And I don't know. I think we talked about it last week. The Awkwafina controversy.
I don't get it. I didn't get it.
No, like she, I think that in this film, she was very, I didn't hear it at all what they were talking about, but I think she did a great job.
I agree.
I mean, the entire cast was dope. I was just blown away.
Yeah. I don't want to give any spoilers, so I won't do that. But next week it's, you know, I'm not holding back anymore, but I will say it is a very good ensemble cast. I don't think there was any weak links, frankly. And so I'm definitely interested to see where they go with it and build off of this film. If you're going to go see it and you haven't seen it yet, you do need to stay all the way through the end.
Yeah, I this was the first time I almost made the mistake, because they had the mid-credit scene, and then I almost left, but I ended up sticking around to the very end. So make sure you do stick around. black licorice on a pizza?
What?
Why would you even know?
I saw a video of a pizza spot putting black licorice on pizza. That's gross. No, thank you. Black licorice is gross in general to me. Yeah. But
well, apparently that's actually real licorice. Like that's real licorice. Like the red ones that we're used to, those aren't actually licorice, apparently.
Fair enough. I don't really
care because it's those are the ones I'm gonna get.
Yeah, exactly.
They also have like different flavors now too. So like, I like the sour ones. The sour strawberry ones are good.
Yeah, I like Australian licorice. I don't know if you've had it, but it's the soft and it's smaller pieces and it's very good. You can usually find it at the checkout line for a lot of places. But anyways,
I have to give that a shot.
So back to the topic of you being old.
wow.
So in your 39th year here on planet Earth, moving into your 40s here soon, you're a lot closer to 40 than you are 38 at this point. So what do you want to see happen for you in the next year? What is your goal or goals for the next 364 days?
Oh man. I just kind of been going, bruh. I would like to have a new job and something that I could definitely career in.
New job or new company, same company? What do you mean when you say new job?
Just something new. I'm kind of done with the sodas.
So explain for our audience what you currently do. You don't need to say who you work for or anything.
Oh, I'm currently a merchandiser, a soda merchandiser. So I go into stores and taking cases off the shelf from the back, putting them out for the people in the coolers and on the shelf, making sure everything looks nice. But it's just kind of wearing on me. I mean, you know,
is it just because it's so physical or?
No, it's not that it's, the physical part I don't have a problem with. You know me, I've worked in teams pretty much all my life. From working with you a couple different times to working, I've worked at restaurants. I worked in casino for a little while. I worked at errands. I've done a bunch of different jobs, and most of those is with a team. So, you know, at least one other person, opening and stuff like that. Yeah, I was by myself, but only for a couple hours. But with this job, it's only me. And yes, I do run into people that I talk to in the stores and everything. And I've gotten to know, you know, not like super personal, but like, you know, like we're friendly because I see them like pretty much every day. But I really miss working with a team, man. Because I don't really know any of my coworkers, honestly. Like, it's crazy. Like, I know my bosses, but I really don't know any of my coworkers.
So you get up, you go to work, you leave your house, and do you go straight to a location to start stocking? You don't.
Yeah.
And that's it. You go from store to store and then you go back home.
I go every day.
You don't ever really have like team meetings where you guys get together.
We did, but with COVID and everything, you know, of course we were doing everything over Zoom and we didn't actually have to have our screens up. We didn't have to be on screen. We just had to, you know, be on the call. And mm-hmm. so you still don't, like we had pictures and stuff up, but you still don't exactly know. You don't really know everybody. Even some people know each other, but that's because they've either worked for a long time, or they maybe brought somebody in, or they trained with somebody. Like when I was training, I knew a couple people because, you know, I'd either worked with them out in the field, or you know, stuff like that. But yeah, that's not totally true, because normally on Mondays, I see the guy at my first store. He's the merchandiser from the morning, still working that first at my first store that I started. It's like his last store. So like I see him every once in a while, and we kind of chop it up and stuff like that, but that's about it. Like, rarely do I see anybody else out in the field.
So I guess going back to the question then, is your goal to stay within the company where you're at and do something else there? Or do you think you want to get out of that game altogether and go to a different field?
Yeah, I think I want to get out of the game altogether.
So one of the fields that we know you worked in that you talked about is the restaurant industry. Is that something you want to go back to, or?
Not really. I mean, like, if that was what I needed to do for just a short-term thing, just while I was transferring into something else, then yeah, maybe. But I think I'm trying to go into something completely different. So,
and do you have any kind of envisionment of what that might look like?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I'll just put it out there. I have applications and kind of moving forward in the process with TSA. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, you know, government job and, you know, benefits, all that kind of stuff. I mean, starting off, like we've talked about, it's not great starting off, but the opportunities to move up, things like that are pretty significant. So, you know, if I can get in there, get good footing, get, you know, one of the things I would love to do is to maybe start, like, once I've been there for a little while, maybe start training. I know they have like training and training departments and things like that for them. So, if that's available to me, I definitely would love to take advantage of that. You know, I did that training was something I absolutely loved to do. I did that for almost 7 years at Red Robin. And I mean, pretty much everybody that came through that restaurant at some point in time, either at least a day with me, I think Stephen, did you come on after I was there? I don't remember. But I know I worked with him and I worked with a number of other people, and pretty much everybody came through me at least one day, did a couple restaurant openings, which were amazing. Did what we called T3s, which was train the trainer to train new trainers, things like that. So I love the training aspect of work. So that's something that I hope I can continue with, if I end up moving forward with the TSA, that's something I would, like to
have
do
you-
there.
Have you had an interview with them yet?
No, I mean, I've done all the main processing. I got to make a phone call to them today. I got a phone call a couple weeks ago. So I got to about a week ago. So I just need to follow back up with them. But because of the holiday, of course, nobody was there. So
sure.
Yeah.
And so is that, I assume that's for the Las Vegas International Airport. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. From McCarran Airport, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely, you know.
Yeah, I did, okay.
As you know, for me, I left management in the retail restaurant industry after 15-plus years to go work for the state of Nevada, and I took a huge pay cut. You know, when I was working for FedEx office in the Bay Area with bonuses and everything, I was pulling about six figures. And when I moved up to Northern Nevada and went to work for the state of Nevada, I was making less than half of that, when I first started, but, you know, here I am just about not even 3 years later, and I'm not back up to six figures. Don't get me wrong, but I'm making almost 25,000 more than I was when I first started with the state in 3 years. And that's because I have the experience. I have the background. It's just, I needed to get my foot in the door, and I got my foot in the door with a very low level position.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can do that, you know, get yourself in with TSA or whoever. And, even if it's a low level position, and, just work your way up. I mean,
I learned from one of the best, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No, Mark is definitely one of the, his work ethic is bar none. And one of the things that I always, I mean, even as a friend, working, you know, they always say don't work with your friends, but we left, I mean, we were still friends, of course, but we kind of, that all kind of left at the door. And, you know, he was my boss. And so I respected him as my boss.
I wrote you up.
Yeah, he did. And the thing that I really like about Mark is that he always was one of those guys that was always, if I'm asking you to do something, it's because I can't take care of it right now. Or, but otherwise, like, he would be out there with us taking orders, putting, you know, putting in, taking packages, all that kind of stuff. So anything that we had to do, he had zero problem with helping out. The only reason that if he was asking us to do anything was because either he was too busy or he was doing something else. So it was always like, that's one thing I always respected about him. So,
yeah, you know. I mean, my philosophy has always been that, you know, I know that for me, I always want to work with somebody that's willing to get in the trenches. If they're just going to say, oh no, that's your job, go do it. Okay. I mean, you're not wrong, but if I'm needing help, you know, I want you to come help me. And so I always wanted my staff to feel that I was that person. You know, the other important thing that I always felt was, you know, I'm sure there are many people out there that have worked for me that don't love me. They don't think I'm the best guy out there, and that's fine. My job isn't to be your buddy. My job was always to take care of the business that I was supposed to be running. But I always wanted to be fair and consistent. I never wanted to be that person that had favorites. I never wanted to be that person that held one person accountable but not the other. You know, I think that's extremely important for leadership, to be fair and consistent. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No doubt. No doubt. And that's, like I said, I appreciate that. And that's one thing. Currently, it's just like I'm. My biggest issue is I can't get a hold of management. If I have a problem or something, it's super hard getting a hold of management right now. Like I've called the other day, I called all three of my bosses, got no response from any of them. So it was like, come on, bro.
Yeah, that's not a great experience.
No, and it's been kind of meh. So I've enjoyed what I do, but I mean, I have other wants and aspirations. So that's basically why I would like to move on.
Yeah, no, I get it. So, switching gears just a little bit. So last Wednesday, we had our Fat and Black Fantasy Football League. Draft. Yeah, draft day. And, I don't know about you, but my draft did not go great. I was not terribly satisfied with my team, but I'm going to make the best of it that I can. I'm going to try and whoop some people out there in our league. We did have one participant who claimed that they had difficulties getting in, which I didn't have any issues, and pretty much everyone else that was a part of the league, as far as I know, didn't really have any issues getting in. So yeah. I'm not sure what happened there, but what was very frustrating was that this person decided, rather than play their team, make them the best that they can, they decided, I'm going to quit. Okay, well, let us know you're quitting and just say, hey, you know, I'm out. But what they did is they started dropping their players because they were trying to clear off their bench. Well, it won't let you fully do that. And what's frustrating about that is that other teams out there were then able to pick up these players that, you know, are some top tier players. And so I took over management of the team, and I pretty much have cleared the bench, and that team will be buys, you know, pretty much for all of us. We'll get free wins those weeks. But the one thing I would say to anybody out there, if you say you're going to be a part of a league, just do it regardless of what team you end up with. Even if it's not a great team, just set your roster and don't think about it, because who cares? Like if you're really that frustrated, then just set your roster and walk away. But to quit and basically throw players back into the pool that other teams are able to get, it was very frustrating, because I am the commissioner. I could go into your team, for example, if you had picked up one of his players, I could go in and take that away from you and put it back on his team, which I thought about doing, but I didn't think that that was necessarily the most fair thing to do. So I reloaded that team with players and then I benched them all. So it is now called Team Quitter because is what it is. I mean, if somebody's out there and they want to join our league and roll the dice with getting the best possible players they can, even though pretty much all the good players have been picked up, let me know. I'd be happy to assign the team to you. And I was really disappointed because, you know, I feel like I don't have a strong team, but I'm still going to do it.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, like I have a so-so team. But no, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm excited just to do it, man. I was excited to that. It's, you know, people who we know and enjoy the show and stuff like that. So, this Thursday, super excited.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night football's back, baby. Thursday night football's back. And, I'm just not too thrilled about the teams that are playing the first game, but yeah, you know, whatever. And then, college football is back in full swing too, man. Like, actually, here's a weird thing. So apparently BYU and Arizona State, Arizona State, I think it was, were playing at Allegiant Stadium on what day was that? Thursday, Friday? I think it was Saturday night or something like that. And I was like, what?
Was like, it like a preseason game?
No, I guess it was like, I don't know why they were, honestly, I don't even know why they were playing out here. Like, I was like, what? Like, I guess they picked a neutral stadium or whatever. Cause I was like, oh, you guys are Mountain West, right? And he was like, no, we're not Mountain West. We're not, BYU is not Mountain West. And I guess the school they were playing from Arizona is not Mountain West either, which I was like, okay. But yeah, like, cause I saw all these dudes in BYU shirts and I was like, I don't think I've ever met anybody from BYU, let alone a bunch of them all at once.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. But yeah, no, college football's back. Let's go Ducks. I'm an Oregon fan. They played Fresno State this past week. So that was a win. They're actually number 11 in the 20 in this CB25.
Yeah, so Thursday night football, we've got the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. I know you are not a fan of the Bucs because you're not a fan of Tom Brady. And neither am I. Don't get me wrong. But I think the Cowboys are rated, last I looked, to be probably the worst team in the NFL. So we'll see how that goes for them.
Really?
Now, the Monday night game, of course, I'm super stoked for.
Ravens playing, right?
In Las Vegas against the Raiders. So I'm super stoked.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that Monday. Yeah, the first. I hope they got that beer situation taken care of.
Yeah, just calling back from a couple weeks ago when James and I went to SummerSlam. The entire arena is a cashless arena. So don't bring your cash, bring your cards. But if their credit card machine goes down, no beer.
Yeah.
No food.
No. Oh, man, that got tough. I mean, like, it's not that I really cared about food, but man, oh.
Yeah, Steven's commenting on our draft, for our league and how it's not about the draft. It's about waivers, free agents. And that's absolutely true. You know, you can definitely try and trade with, you know, the other people in your league. You can pick up free agents. Steven says, imagine an NFL team dropping all their best players simply because they didn't get the player that they wanted.
Yeah. That would be absolutely ridiculous. Like, yeah, no, we like, you know, like Mark commented a few times that he, you know, he had players that he wanted, he had on his list and got picked up. So, yeah, there was a couple players I had my eye on, a defense I had my eye on, and they got picked up right before my pick. So, I had to change my game plan up a little bit, but you know, overall, like I'm pretty happy with what I got, man. I gotta make it happen, Captain.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's coming to that time where we start winding down, do you got anything you wanted to talk about before we wrap this thing up?
No, man. I'm just, you know, oh, actually, real quick. What if, man, those last two episodes have been kind of dark, bro.
Yeah, the Doctor Strange episode, man, that was
tough.
I thought it was very good. I thought it was very well done. Yeah, but it was, I agree with you. It was dark. It was, and this next coming episode appears to involve the zombie Marvel universe. So I'll be curious if they're just going to keep going dark with all these, or if the
I need some light, bro.
Yeah, because
we did the Captain Carter and what if T'Challa became Star-Lord, and then like after that, those were pretty light, and then all of a sudden it became like
dark as hell.
Dark, like, you know, all the Avengers getting like some of the big Avengers getting killed off, and then some of, and then like the one after that, Doctor Strange going dark, and like, bro, like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. Like I said, I think this week's tomorrow night's gonna be dark as well, but hopefully they turn it around, because I'm not just interested in seeing the dark side of What If. I want to see,
I'm sure there could be some fun storylines in there too. Like,
yeah, what if Thor and Loki were best friends? Like,
that would be something.
Right,
that would be something. But no, hopefully, you know, they'll take that, man. And just so real quick, so we have Shang-Chi out, so October we don't have any. November we have Eternals, December we have Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
and then I don't think we have anything until March.
I believe March
is Doctor Strange
Multiverse of Madness. That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. So, and it's, oh, and, no, we'll talk about that next week.
All right.
Well, cause I was going to say something about the 10 rings, but I was just like, you know, we'll save that.
Yes. Well, I think it's time to shut her down, and, it's been real. It's been fun.
Throttle back.
Has not been real fun.
All right, guys.
We thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir. We'll see you next week. Happy birthday to me.
Bad luck to you, Stephen. Baddest of luck to you.